Hey, change is coming. We're going to talk about change today. Everybody loves progress. It's just the journey of getting there that sometimes causes us anxiety. Now, if you come to me today and say, change never causes me anxiety, I'm probably going to say, you know, you're not being real with yourself. You know, humans have this natural fear of the unknown. We love to script things. We love to know what's coming. You know, we want to... How many of you check the weather forecast on a regular basis? Just let me see your hand. And the rest of you probably should, to see if you should take your umbrella. But I look at the forecast just about every morning. Lois got me this new machine, so I can just punch a couple buttons. I can get the weather forecast where I grew up. I can get the weather forecast in the last city I lived. I can get the weather forecast right here. And sometimes it's correct. Now, I'm not going to forecast the change that is coming for Trinity Church or for you. What we're going to do today is just look at some things that will help us have a better outlook. You see, every single person recognizes that life is filled with changes. So we're going to do some exploration of this today. Most of the time we approach something like that and we say to ourselves, is the change worth the risk or the cost I'll have to put into it? If the answer is no, we may shy away. We may decide that we're going to do something else. Often there is some level of disquiet and pain that might be involved. As somebody said, if you're going to move up, you're going to have to give up. Now, physical moving is a part of that, and I'm in the process of that, so I'm going through papers, I'm throwing some things away, I'm keeping some things, and then I'm trying to decide which is which. And if any of you have moved maybe in the last, few weeks or so, you understand that that's a chore. Do I want to take this or do I want to give it away? Or how about a garage sale? You know, and I can give my junk to somebody else and they can manage that stuff. You know, one man's junk is another man's treasure. Don't you love it? I used to pull into garage sales, but you know, I don't do it anymore because Lois says, you know, you don't need anything more. Your closet is already full. At my house, I have a three-bay garage that goes with my house. It started out, and they were all empty. Now, you know where this is going, don't you? Oh, man. Change. I've noticed something as I have looked at this, that in Scripture, life there is often about change from one to the other and so forth. It's amazing. But I also notice that there is often, there's challenge that goes with that. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 7 says, if you want to be on my way, he says, my way is a constricted way. And he also says, it is sometimes a difficult way. So people say, you know, I'm looking for the easy way. Well, guess what? It's not always as easy as we might think. So, in order to really do this well, it's my contention that we need to embrace the future and come up with just a few kinds of things that will help guide us and give us some anchor and some channel markers in this. So I'd like you to turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start there and look at several principles that I believe will help Trinity Church and help you in the process of change, not just as a church, but even as an individual. Many of you are in change. Some of you have graduated from school and you're on to the next thing. Some of you don't know what the next thing is. Some of us are still trying to figure out what the next thing is. So there's change out there, and there's a certain level of uncertainty. I want to read this text from Joshua 1, and then we're going to sort of weave it into a number of things, because I have noticed that the Bible is a book about change. Here we go. Joshua chapter 1. I hope you have either a paper or an electronic copy with you. And I think I put in your notes we're going to start in verse 6, but I want to start in verse 5. This is a well-known story. Follow as I read. Joshua chapter 1, starting at verse 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. This is God talking directly to Joshua. They're on the verge of some monumental change. God shows up with a message. I will be with you as I was with Moses. And he just got done telling you, oh, Moses is dead. He's not coming back. Joshua, it's your deal now. It's your deal. I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. So, verse 6, be strong and courageous. You are the one who's going to lead these people to possess the land. It's not Moses anymore. It's you. If any of you have been in a position like that, you know, it's like, wait a minute, let's bring the other guy back. And you will possess the land that I swore to give to your ancestors, all of it. So, verse 7, and by the way, verse 7 and verse 8 are really the nugget verses in this paragraph. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. The book of Exodus, the book of Deuteronomy, filled with God's instruction. Do not deviate from them, either turning right or to left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction. Study it continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure that you obey everything written. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my commandment, in case you missed it the first pass. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, folks, this is a bathroom mirror text. Put it on the refrigerator. When there are difficulties or risk, uncertainty ahead, this is a great, great text. Now, what I want us to do is understand that often the discomfort of change is God's message to open the window of our soul for development within. Now, some of us miss that. We see it as a threat, as a risk, certain elements of the unknown. But if we approach this with care, if we approach this biblically, it may be God just opening the window of our soul so that he may put fresh principles there. Have you noticed in your own spiritual journey that most of your growth has occurred at the transition points in your life? Have you noticed that? And here's the reason. It's a place for faith to grow. The possible risk and potential change that occurs at those junctures really is the fertilizer for your faith. Some people bail, some people run, and that's why I call this embrace the future. Embrace the future. Change and those hinge points in your journey is one of God's tools to craft your life in accord with his plan for you. If we are terrified and run, that's why he keeps telling Joshua, look, you know, be strong, be courageous, stay with this program. And what was facing him, you remember, there just a few feet from where they're camped is this flooded river. You know, there's no pontoon boats, there's no way across. And just beyond that, there's this walled city. And here these guys have been wandering around the desert, and they got a few sticks and rocks. And they're looking up there. If you go back into Numbers 12, it says, we look like grasshoppers next to them. And you want us to take that? I don't think so. They're facing huge risk. God shows up and said, look, stay with the course. Stay with the text. Be courageous. You can do this. And you know the story. They did it. It just occurred to me that, and let me just give another plug. This is in my notes. This is free. Read the Old Testament. Case after case after case, God is building faith in his people. And there's a marvelous record of what he does for them in the face of circumstances and odds and risk that would cause us to bolt. I tried to picture myself in the shoes of these people standing there looking at that river, looking at that walled city, and figuring out, what would I do in a case like that? We know what Israel said in part. Hey, let's go back to Egypt. Man, we like that Cajun food down there. That's a paraphrase. Okay, where are we here? I got lost. Here's the question. Here's the question. Is it possible for us to position ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our emotions, in such a fashion that, in fact, we will grow in the process of change? We will develop rather than bolt and run. Just a few points that I want to share. The first one is this: to recognize that change is a part of life. And you're going, rats, you know. I wanted to get to the point where I could relax, where I could have a life of ease and comfort. I don't have to go through all this turbulence all the time. And as soon as you say that, you know, something else happens. Change. It's inevitable. Now, some of us would like to, you know, now, if you know Mumi, I'm not electronically astute, okay? I have a bride who helps me with that. And so every time there's a new thing, I have to learn some new stuff. I'm trying to learn Windows 8. How many of you have mastered Windows 8? Yeah, I see all those frowns out there. Give me a couple of years and then they'll have something else. Now, last week we talked about what I called virtues for the journey. Keep those in mind: humility, prayerfulness, service, truth. Those will help posture your heart to be able to benefit, to be able to grow as you engage some of the change. Now, please understand that not all change is beneficial. That is, it might take a downward turn from a human perspective, but I want you to know that God can use any kind of change, what we perceive as good change or not so good change, to develop your soul. I went back and I read Romans 8 this week, particularly that section from about verse 32 to the end. And we often quote verse 28. You know, all things work together for the good of those who are in His special care. That verse still works, even in the midst of change. The second point I wanted just to focus on for just a little bit here is what I call develop and deepen your theology. As I look at this and I examine this, I realize that most of our hesitation, most of our fear in the face of change is fundamentally a theological problem. That is, what do I believe about God, who God is, what His relationship is to me, and how I can connect with that? Sometimes in the face of change we go, oh God, I don't think you can handle this one. This is a little bit too big for you. Well, that's why I say read the Old Testament, because look at all the big things He handled there. And His people came out on top. Now, I want to introduce you to a new theological word today. And the theological word is this: God is immutable. Some of you know that word. It simply means God is unchangeable. And I just put a couple of scripture texts in your notes there for you to ponder. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. The context there is in the post-exilic environment where these people were still struggling to find their footing in a whole new arena. And one of the things He's really telling them there is that, look, you better get busy and bring in the offerings and the tithe, because that's how God is going to help us adjust and progress in this next season. I also jotted for you there Hebrews chapter 6. In fact, I'm going to turn to that. You don't have to turn to it if you... Well, go ahead. Let's go there. Hebrews 6. Man, this is good stuff. In fact, it's all good stuff. Hebrews chapter 6. I want you to see this, because in my Bible I've underlined it a couple of times here. He's talking about the fact that here's a group of people under pressure. Some of them have already bolted. And He says, I want to give you hope. I want to read particularly verse 18 and 19 here. And I want you to really let this resonate with your soul. Hebrews 6, 18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. Now when God makes an oath, there's power behind that. Some of us don't realize that, you know. These are two things that are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. I don't know what that does for you, but for me it's like, yes. And the author goes on, therefore we have fled to him for refuge. Not to our broker or to our lawyer or to our parents or to our education or to our bank account. We have fled to him for refuge. We can have great confidence as we hold to that hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Do you see that? This is where we anchor our soul, not in the flimsy stuff that goes on around us or in some sort of human contrivance or some sort of human promise. This is the promise of God. He's make unchangeable, immutable promises to us. Anchor your soul there. That's a theological issue. That's a theological development. So when change starts to come over the horizon, what do? I love that song. God, keep our eyes above the waves. Thanks, Carrie. That is awesome. You know, and how's that going to happen? This text will help us. I also jotted there for you Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. We've examined that earlier. Jesus Christ said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now there's not much you can count on like that. So, as you develop your theological capacity, don't make this too academic. It's just a capacity to trust God and what God has said and the promises that God has made and as they impact you and will change your life and your perspective. It might not necessarily alter the change or the swirling stuff outside of you, but it will bring a confidence and a peace in your heart that will help you move through that with faith in God. That's what will make the difference. That's what will make the difference. Now, it's just a little illustration of that in the life of Jesus. He was so confident, he was so collected, that even in the midst of this turbulent storm, he was riding the boat with the disciples across the lake. Storm came up, and these guys are going. These guys are seasoned boat people, and they're going out of their tree. Well, what's going to happen, man? Let's row, turn the sail, whatever. And Jesus is taking a nap. A nap. Can you believe that? He's taking a nap in the midst of the storm. Why? Because he's secure. He's confident. He knows. Oh, if we could only take a nap in the midst of the storm. Maybe not literally, but at least figuratively. Now, the third thing I want to just point out is remember, God is always with you. God is always with you. Back in Joshua now. We went to Hebrews, but let's go back to Joshua, other end of your Bible. Notice how he says this, not once, but twice. He says, I was with Moses, I'll be with you, verse 5. Then he goes down in verse 9 as he concludes this paragraph. Look, Joshua, I am the Lord your God. I will be with you wherever you go. Now, if we understand who God is, the immutable, powerful, sovereign, mighty creator. And he says, I will be with you. Do you think that is enough? Do you think that will give you confidence in the midst of uncertainty? Do you think God is worried about the future? I'm here to tell you, he's not. He has created it. He has already been there. He's not worried about the future. And if you stay with him, there's no need for you to worry about the future either. But we do. But we do. That's why we need these kinds of reminders, so we will stay with him. What's the key? Look at verse 7, Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Now I be strong and courageous. However, be very careful to obey the instructions you have. That is to take what God has said, not just merely as an academic intellectual exercise, but to understand this is Word of God. This is God's guidance for human creatures that in fact is operational in everyday situations. Change or no change. That's our shortcoming. Notice the intensity. He says, don't deviate, then you'll be successful. Verse 8, he reinforces it. He comes back on it again. Study this book continually. In other words, we don't just sort of brush the dust off on Sunday morning, peek in and go, oh, that's a good one, and then we're off. He says continually. In fact, we looked at this back in Deuteronomy. He talks about morning and evening, while you're journeying, while you're before you go to bed, when you have your coffee. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey that which is written therein. Only then will you prosper. See, that's a condition. That's a condition. And some people might look at your life and say, you know, I tried that and it didn't work. You haven't gotten to the end of the story yet. See, some of us are impatient. We want the story to be done right now. Again, God's not in a hurry. God's not in a hurry. He's got all eternity to work stuff out. But we humans, oh man. So here's the fourth point. Adopt a growth posture. Adopt a growth posture in the face of all this. And this is another text that we've looked at. It's back in the little tiny book of Philippians. Philippians 3. In fact, this is a whole message. In fact, all of these points are a whole message. But this is a review. I want it at the surface of your brain so we can process and continue to process. This is what he says. He's talking to a small group of believers, and he tells them, you know, I've had a values change. You read the first part of Philippians 3, he says, I've had a values change. My value system used to be in parallel with sort of a humanistic set of values. He says, now my values have been changed, transformed, so now I have a biblical, a God set of values. And because of that, everything has changed. Verse 12, he says, I haven't achieved all this, but he says, I'm pressing ahead toward what Christ has done. Dear brothers and sisters, verse 13, I have not achieved all this, but here's my focus. Forgetting what is past, I look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the prize that God has for me. Wow. Now, by forgetting the past, he doesn't mean I'm just trying to sweep it under the rug, but I'm trying to deal with it, much as we did in our renewal Sunday. To say, God, I want you to take these uglies that may still be hindering my life, and I want you to deal with them in accordance with your cross. I bring those to you. Here's the issue, folks. And I just want to give you an exhortation, because as we have said, renewal isn't just an event, it is a process. Now, for some of you, there might be some lingering issues that you haven't fully processed. Could I encourage you to do that? Could I encourage you to do that? You might say, well, you know, I'm not sure. I think it was her fault, not my fault. Just lean into that and process it. Because here's the thing. If those things dangle and sort of trickle through the future, if they survive the transition, they have the potential to contaminate your future. Okay? That's true. It's much better to live in the freedom of forgiveness than to wallow in the bondage of bitterness. Jesus came to get rid of that. Why would you not? All that you've got to lose is your pride. And that's what Paul has done. So therefore, I am free from that past. I can press on. I'm reaching out for this heavenly prize. And then he concludes that. I didn't put this in your note, but you might jot down chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stay true to the Lord. That's his exhortation. Stay on the path. Will there be ups and downs? Yeah, there will be. Will there be times when we're filled with joy? Yeah. Will there be times that we might be pestered by confusion? Yeah, there might be. But he says, stay on the path. Stay on track. Keep going. As he said, I press on. He doesn't say I wander on. I'm just casually moving along. He says, no, I press. I have intentionality. I have focus. I have energy. I'm moving. And I'm moving in God's direction. As long as we obey and follow, as he said to Joshua, there is success. Now, the success may not be measured by human benchmarks, but they are often measured by God's systems. Okay? And frankly, brothers and sisters, that's really the only system that I want to incorporate. Because all the other systems are going to disappear. They're all going to end up in smoke. And the word of the Lord abides forever. If you hook up there, that'll be successful. So as Joshua instructed down there in verse 10, he says, get your provisions ready. 3 days, we're going in. Here we go. Buckle up. Get your stuff ready. Here we go. Don't you love it? So adopt this growth pattern. Could I just give you a couple more exhortations here? Or read some more in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, Hebrews 12, Hebrews 13. And I just want to thank you guys for helping me gain a fresh love for the book of Hebrews as we went through that 4 months ago in the fall. There is a richness there that is just incredible. A group of people that are in transition. And he says, you know, like Paul, stay with it. Stay with it. Adopt a growth posture. Embrace the future. Grow your faith. And I jotted this in this morning as I was reflecting on this. Faith grows where there is risk. If there is no risk, there is no need for faith to grow. You with me on that? If there is no risk, there's really no need for faith to grow. That's why God brings risk into our life. Faith is about not necessarily knowing all the stuff that's coming, but knowing the one who is with us as we're going. That's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. We may not know all the pieces of the route or the trail, but our confidence is in the one who is guiding us down the trail. That's what makes the difference. Because the guide has already been there and comes back to get us and helps us navigate the trail. Brothers and sisters, that really is the only way to go. And the great thing about it, as you've heard me say, he gave us the script. Not only what it's going to be like today, but he also gave us a window on what it's going to be like in the future. And you know, I've read it, and the future is great. It's incredible. And I reviewed that little section there in Hebrews 11. Where it says, Moses kept going because he fixed his eye on the one who is invisible. I say, this is a little weird, you know, he's kind of spooky. No. And then across the column in my Bible, it says, Jesus also, Hebrews 12, couple verses there, he endured because he fixed his eye on the goal and the great joy that was ahead for him. If Jesus had spent all his time worrying about the risk of what was going to happen to him, on this journey, on the planet, man, incredible. That wasn't where his focus was. His focus was on the great joy that was ahead. Brothers and sisters, keep your focus on the great joy that's coming. As missionaries often say, it is literally out of this world. It is. It is. Fix your eye on Jesus. Change is coming. Embrace the future because God is in charge of the future. He has made it. It doesn't surprise him. It doesn't worry him. He doesn't stay up night trying to think, do I need to re-script this thing? No, he doesn't. He already knows. And therefore, even his son Jesus, in the midst of turbulence, could take a nap.
I love that.